Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Bar Mitzvah, daf Nun. We are holding at the bottom of daf Mem Tes, Amid Beis, three lines up from the bottom, Tanya Kevasei D'Shmuel. The Gemara today is basically going to try to elucidate various rules relating to Onah. It's going to have a whole discussion about the time frame of Onah, according to the Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Tarfon, who we saw in the Mishnah, had a debate about Onah. The Rabbanan assumed Onah was around a sixth, you know, above a sixth, below a sixth, and exactly a sixth. And Rabbi Tarfon assumed that it was at a third, not a sixth, that was the key ratio. So this Gemara is going to discuss various parameters of their positions. And then the Gemara at the end of the daf is going to conclude with some halachos related to what happens when Ona is exactly a sixth, when it's more than a sixth, and when it's less than a sixth. Before the Gemara gets into that discussion, we just have a Tanya Kavasei de Shmuel, a Braisa which supports Shmuel. If we remember, there was a debate between Rav and Shmuel, probably Rav, although they're different girsas, maybe it's Rav Kahana, but probably a debate between Rav and Shmuel. Rav said that Ona, when we talk about a sixth, that means only a sixth of the value of the item. But if it's not a sixth of the value of the item, only a sixth of the money that was paid for the item, that would not be Ona. It would not be treated exactly the same as if it was a sixth of the value of the item. And Shmuel said, no, either way, whether it's a sixth of the value of the item or a sixth of the money given. So now we have a Braisa which supports that a position of Shmuel, that Ona could be either a sixth of the value of the item or a sixth of the money given. Tanya Kavasei de Shmuel. Mi shehutal alav yado al ha'aliona. He who bears the burden of the Ona has the upper hand in determining what he wants to do with this transaction that was not handled properly. Ketzad, what's the case of somebody who was subject to Ona and therefore has the upper hand? The case is, let's say, Machar lo shave hei bivav. Let's say a person sold something worth five for a value at a price of six. Then minis ane, who was subject to Ona in this case? Lokeach. The buyer was subject to Ona because he was overcharged. You had something which only cost five, and he was charged six for it. So he was subject to Ona. Therefore, Yad Lokeach al Ha'Eliona, therefore he has the upper hand. Ratza Omer Tein Li Ma Osai, O Tein Li Ma She Onisani. And he has the right to say, either give me my money back, or at least give me that which you overcharged me. Give me that extra dollar, whatever the unit of currency is that you overcharged me. So that first half of the Braisa is actually the Tanya Kavasei de Shmuel. That's the part that supports Shmuel, because a case of something worth five for which you paid six is only a sixth of the money given. It's not a sixth of the value of the item. One over five, which is the additional amount that you were charged, is the value of the that is the value of the money. That is the value of the item. So that would be one-fifth. According to Shmuel, though, if you look at it in terms of the money, that would be a sixth. So this Braisa supports Shmuel because it treats this as Ona, even though it's only a sixth of the money.
It's more than a sixth, isn't it?
It's more than a sixth of the value of the item. So according to Rav, who only follows the value of the item, this is not going to be regular Ona, where we'd say, because it's only a sixth, really the transaction is Kona. You acquire the item at that price, and you just have to return the amount that you were overcharged. Rather, according to Rav, this would be Bitul Mekach, because you can't look at the key ratio of a sixth in both directions. You can't look at it as either being about a sixth of the money or a sixth of the value of the item. You can only look at it in terms of the value of the item. So Rav is going to assess this case and say, this is more than a sixth of the value of the item, and therefore it's bitul mekach, right? It's a fifth of the value of the item. But according to Shmuel, no, since this case is a sixth of the money given, then this is still treated as regular ona. Since it's exactly a sixth, we would say that the transaction is kona, but you have to return what you were overcharged. So that's the first half of the Braisa, which supports Shmuel. And then the second half of the Braisa, both Rav and Shmuel should agree to. Machar lo shave sheish b'chamesh. Let's say you sell something which is worth six at a price of five, then minis ane, who was subject to ona in this case? Mocher, the seller was subject to ona because he was underpaid for the item. The item was worth six and he was only paid five. Because the mocher was the one who was subject to ona, then yad mocher al ha'aliona, then the seller has the upper hand. Ratza omer lo tein li mikhi, o tein li ma she'onisani. And he could say to the buyer, either give me my item back or give me that which I undercharged you. Pay me the additional value that you owe me. So that case of Shamet Sheish B'Chamesh, something which was worth six for which you only paid five, that both Rav and Shmuel should agree to, because that's considered a sixth of the Mekach, a sixth of the value of the item. It was worth six, and you undercharged by one-sixth of that. So both Rav and Shmuel are going to agree that that's Ona. The only question was if it's only a sixth of the value of the money. the Braisa clearly indicates, like Shmuel, that too is considered Onah. So now we have Nibayiluhu. The Gemara poses a question, and this is going to be where we launch into that discussion about the position of Rabbi Tarfon and the position of the Chachamim. So says the Gemara, Ibayiluhu, Pachos Mishtus LeRabanan, LeAlter Havi Mechila, Obuchdesha Yara LeTagar OLeKrova. The Mishnah had said that if you have real Onah, according to the Chachamim, the amount of time that you have to be Chozer on the Onah is the amount of time that it would take you to either show the item to, let's say, a merchant who would be knowledgeable about the item, or to one of your relatives who might have some information about the item, and they'll be able to tell you, oh, you were ripped off, and then you can go and be chozer on the transaction or try to get your money back for the onah. But beyond that time frame, you would not be able to be chozer. That was in the case of an actual six, an actual case of onah. But now the Gemara's question is, according to the Rabbanan, let's say it's less than a sixth of the item. Do you still have that same time frame or no? Do we assume that la'alter havia mechila, that if it's less than a sixth, according to the Rabbanan, it's automatically forgiven and there's no ability to get your money back for that which you, let's say, overpaid by less than a sixth? Or do we say no, that you still have that time frame, oh, b'chdei she'ala tagar l'krovo, you still have that time frame to go to one of your relatives, to go to a merchant who knows something about the item and can tell you that the price does not add up here.
Is there a specific time for the time frame?
In which option? In the alter option?
Yeah.
No, so I think the alter option would be immediately. Let's say you charge somebody a little bit more than a sixth.
Right.
Immediately he's mochel no matter what. The fact that he accepted the transaction means...
Immediately? No, if you charge more than a sixth.
No. You overcharged by less than a sixth.
By less than a sixth.
Right.
That's what the commercial is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if you overcharge by less than a sixth, and the option in which la alter havi mechila, there would be no time frame. Right away, it would be mechila. Or do we assume you have the same time frame that you normally have? Let's say it was a sixth or more than a sixth. Just like there, you have enough time to show a merchant or show your relative. So too, when it's less than a sixth, you would have that time frame. And ask the Gemara on that question, v'im timtzilomar b'chdei she'yara l'tagar l'krovo ma'ika bin shtus l'pachos min shtus. If you're going to be bothered, well, how could we possibly have an option that if the onah is less than a sixth, you still have that time frame to go show a merchant or one of your relatives? How could that be true? Then what's going to be the difference between where the onah is actually a sixth and when the onah is less than a sixth? It sounds like in either case, you would still have that same time frame to show a relative or to show a merchant, and therefore, what's the difference? If there's not going to be a difference from that between the two, then presumably you would conclude from that that it has to be that it's la'alter havi mechila. It has to be that it's immediate, because if it wasn't immediate, if you had it some time, then there wouldn't be a difference between exactly a sixth and less than a sixth. So Gemara says, no, don't be bothered by that, because ika, there could actually be a difference between when it's exactly a sixth and when it's less than a sixth. The ilushtus, yado ha'yona, ratzachose, ratzakone umachzirona. Because if the onah was a sixth, then you would have the upper hand. You could either retract on the entire transaction, or you could keep the item and you could just demand repayment of that which you were overcharged. And if it's less than a sixth, then you wouldn't have the upper hand. You wouldn't have the ability to retract. All you would be able to do would be to get your money back for that which you were overcharged, but you would keep the item. So the Gemara is entertaining both of these possibilities. Either that if it's less than a sixth, immediately the amount of overcharging is forgiven, or even if it's less than a sixth, you still have some time to go figure out that you were overcharged and decide to be chozer. And the only difference between 1/6 and less than a sixth in that possibility would be how many options you have. If it's a sixth, you could either retract on the transaction completely, or you could just get the overcharging back. But if it's less than a sixth, you can't retract on the whole transaction. You can only get the overcharging back. So both of these are possibilities, and therefore the Gemara wants to know, which is correct? Do you automatically forfeit the amount that was overcharged if it's less than a sixth, or do you have some time to do that? So says the Gemara, Tashma, we have a proof. We can infer the answer to this question from the Mishnah on Memtes Amid Beis. Just to remind ourselves what the Mishnah had said. The Mishnah had said that Rabbi Tarfon disagreed with the Chachamim and said that the key ratio for Onah is 1/3. And the Tagare load, the merchants in this place load, were so happy with Rabbi Tarfon that he allowed them to overcharge by an even greater fraction and still not have to worry about Onah, even if it's more than a sixth, as long as it's less than a third. But then Rabbi Tarfon came and said that the buyer has the entire day to retract on the transaction, whereas the Chachamim said you only have as long as it would take you to show a relative of a merchant. So then the Tagare Lod, the merchants of Lod, decided to, they were no longer happy with Rabbi Tarfon. They preferred the statement of the Chachamim, because even though the Chachamim gave a lower ratio for the key ratio of Onah, he gave a shorter time frame for the ability of the buyer to be chozer, and therefore that was more beneficial for them.
Yeah, this bothered me when we were learning the Mishnah. Why do we assume that that Rabbi Tarfon's time frame is more onerous? It might even be less onerous than the Chachamim, because if the day is late in the day, presumably when you say the whole day, it means until sunset.
Right.
So if it's late in the day that the sale is made, you could have less time, according to Rabbi Tarfon, to figure it out, versus the Rabbanan, which might be more time.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think based on that question, you would have to say that Kolayom means Meis Leis. It means 24 hours. It doesn't mean the entire day. But I don't know. Does anyone address
Kolayom? It would be like a neder of a daughter in the father's house. The wife in the husband's house has the day. It might be a minute if it's before Shkia. It might be a whole meshach. Could be a whole 24 hours if it's the night before. It's a moving target.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I would have said you have two ways to understand it. Either kol hayom means till the end of the day, or meis leis.
Meis leis.
No, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. If one of them leads to a problem, meaning one of them leads to this question, saying that it's only till the end of the day leads to this question, so I would be inclined to say that it means 24 hours. But if you're saying it's more likely, based on the text, that it actually means till the end of the day, then I don't know, you're stuck with that question. I'm not sure what the answer to that would be. Nobody addressed that, and I don't know who gave Shira on Wednesday, but no one addressed that in our
I was thinking of it when I was preparing to hear the daf. Got to ask the question.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm not sure. Okay, interesting. But so the Gemara wants to try to bring a proof from the Chachamim's preference for the Rabbanan in the end of the day, because they gave a shorter time frame than their preference for Rabbi Tarfon. So says the Gemara, what can we infer from the Mishnah? Savrua, the rabbis in the Beis Medrash who were trying to answer their question from this Braisa assumed that Pachos Mishlish the Rabbi Tarfon ke Pachos Mishtos the Rabbanan Dami. They were assuming that whatever you'll say for less than a third, according to Rabbi Tarfon, right, which is just below his key ratio, is going to be the same as less than a sixth, according to the Rabbanan, which is just less than their key ratio. So, Iyamar Bishlama Pachos Mishtos Le Rabbanan, Bechteshe Yare Le Tagar O Le Krovo, O Le Rabbi Tarfon Kolayom, Mishum Hachi Chazru. If you say, in answering our question, that if the overcharging is less than a sixth, according to the Rabbanan, that the buyer still has the amount of time that it would take him to show the item either to a merchant or to a relative in order to be chozer, and according to Rabbi Tarfon, you would have the entire day, because they both equate less than their key ratio with the same amount of time as their key ratio, and thus the same standards apply. Mishum hachi chazru. That would explain why the merchants were chozer, initially liked Rabbi Tarfon, and later decided that they really preferred the Chachamim. What exactly is that saying? Let's see Rashi. Mishum hachi chazru, meikara samchu. Initially, the merchants in Lod were very happy. Dishtus v'yeter al shtus ad shlish, the Rabbanan havi chazara betoch kedei sheyare. The ratio of exactly a sixth, or more than a sixth, up until a third, according to the Rabbanan, that amount of overcharging, the buyer could retract on the whole transaction within the time frame that it would take him to show a merchant or a relative the item and figure out that he was overcharged. And if he wants to retract on the whole transaction, he can. And that amount of money, between a sixth up to a third, Rabbi Tarfon is saying the buyer automatically is mochel, and the transaction is going to be acquired, and you just have to return the amount of money that you overcharged him. So they initially preferred Rabbi Tarfon because he allowed them to get away with more overcharging. And then when Rabbi Tarfon added to his statement that, oh, the buyer actually has the whole day to retract on the transaction, that was causing a greater loss to the merchants of Lod. Because the ratio of less than a sixth or a sixth, the Rabbanan only allowed you to retract on in the amount of time that it would take you to show it to a merchant. And Meshavi Le'ihu Kohayom Utsrichin Lahachzir Ona. Rabbi Tarfon comes out of nowhere and expands the time frame and gives the buyer the entire day to be chozer. So that would explain why the merchants of Lod went back and preferred the position of the Rabbanan and not the position of Rabbi Tarfon, because they preferred this shorter time frame in which you could be chol there. And says Rashi, v'imishum de la Rabbanan havishtos v'yeter ashtos chazara. But you might say, still, they should prefer Rabbi Tarfon over the Rabbanan. Why? Because according to the Rabbanan, if the ratio that you were overcharged is either a sixth or more than a sixth, then the whole transaction is batel. Ulididei kana umachzir ona. But according to Rabbi Tarfon, the item is still acquired. You just have to return the amount that you overcharged them. So that should be preferred to the Tagarelo. The merchants of load should prefer Rabbi Tarfon because the transaction will still stand. They'll just have to return the amount that they overcharged the buyer if the ratio that they overcharged them was either a sixth or more than a sixth. But says Rashi, no, that's not a reason to prefer Rabbi Tarfon. Why? Because Noach Lahem Shetehei Chazara B'toch Kedei Sheyara, the merchants prefer that the entire Mekach, the entire transaction, will be batel within the time frame that the person, the buyer, can show the item to his relative or to a merchant. But if he doesn't come within that time frame, then he will have forgiven all of the overcharging. That would be better for the merchants than mikana umachzir ona b'hayalo shehos kolayom. Then the possibility that the transaction still stands, they just have to return the amount that they overcharged the buyer if the time frame for the buyer to figure that out goes the entire day.
What's the mathematical difference between a sixth and a third?
The mathematical difference between a sixth and a third?
It's a sixth.
How much they're giving up?
Right, it's a sixth.
It's a sixth?
Yeah.
So, okay.
Like 17%.
But
it's, I mean, it's basically double, right? Because a sixth is...
Why does Rashi say in the beginning, May Kara Samchul, the Shtus V'yetzer Ashtus, Ad Shlish, that according to the Rabbanan, from a sixth to a third, according to the Rabbanan, is have a chazara b'toch kedei shiira. Do the Rabbanan hold that more than a sixth isn't immediately null and void?
No, I don't think so.
More than a sixth?
Because what we saw in the Mishnah was...
They also have to be tuch at shiira?
Yeah, I think the person still has to realize that they were overcharged and come back to dispute the claim.
And if he realize...
If they don't, then it's presumed that they're mochel. And even if you overcharge them more than six, maybe you're still over in Isser Doraisa overcharging them. That might be true. But as far as the monetary transaction and your obligation to pay them back, then it's only if they refute the transaction at some point. So that's what the Gemara said until now. The Gemara wants to conclude in its question. According to the Rabbanan, if you overcharge by less than a sixth, do you have until the time that you would take for you to show the item to a merchant or to a relative to be chozer, or are you automatically mochel? So the Gemara wants to infer, based on the Mishnah, that the first option I gave is true, that you have until the amount of time that it would take you to show a merchant or to a relative, because that's the only way to understand why the merchants in Lod prefer the position of the Chachamim and not the position of Rabbi Tarfon. Ella, second to last line on the Amud, Ella iyamar pachosh mishtus l'rabbanan l'alter havin echila. But if you say that according to the Rabbanan, less than a sixth, you're automatically mochel. Immediately, the buyer is forgiving the amount that he was overcharged. L'Rabbi Tarfon nami l'alter havin echila. And according to Rabbi Tarfon, if you overcharge by less than a third also, that is immediate mechila. Then amai chazru. Why would the merchants in Lod be chozer and prefer the Chachamim over Rabbi Tarfon? But the Rabbi Tarfon nechelu tfei, they should prefer Rabbi Tarfon. The Rabbi Tarfon have mechila. Because that which according to the Rabbanan would be ona, i.e. a sixth or more, according to Rabbi Tarfon, is automatic mechila. Up until the ratio of a third, the way we're understanding the Gemara, Rabbi Tarfon would be immediate mechila. So why would the merchants in Lod be chozer and prefer the Chachamim? They should prefer Rabbi Tarfon because Rabbi Tarfon is seemingly so much better. So Gemara wants to conclude, therefore, that according to the Rabbanan, less than a sixth, you have the time that it would take you to show a merchant or a relative. But then the Gemara says, no, that's not a good proof. That's not a good question. Because mi savar pachos mishlosh to Rabbi Tarfon ke pachos mishlosh to Rabbanan dami? Did you think that less than a third, less than Rabbi Tarfon's key ratio, would be the same as less than a sixth for the Rabbanan, less than the Rabbanan's key ratio? No, that's not right. Mishtus v'ajlish, the Rabbi Tarfon, kishtus atzma, the Rabbanan dami. The ratio between 1/6 and 1/3, according to Rabbi Tarfon, is exactly the same as 1/6, according to the Chachamim. So the dispute between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim is actually much smaller than we initially thought. Let's see Rashi.
How can you say that when Rabbi Tarfon is disputing the threshold for Anoah? And he's saying that it's a third, meaning that less than a third, there's just no Anoah there.
So I think we're changing that assumption, and we're saying that less than a third, between a third and a sixth, we're not saying that there's no onah at all, and therefore it's going to be forgiven. We're saying that it's going to be onah, but in terms of the options, it's just different. Let's say you overcharge by more than a sixth, but less than a third. According to the Rabbanan, the whole transaction is null and void. According to Rabbi Tarfon, now, the way the Gemara is assuming, the transaction is not null and void, but it's also not automatically forgiven. The transaction stands, and you just have to return the overpayment. Mm-hmm. So that's going to make the difference, like your point, yeah, that's going to make the difference between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim much smaller.
But on what basis do you say that? Rabbi Tarfon just said the threshold is a third.
Right. So the Gemara...
It's very difficult. In other words, if you say that Rabbi Tarfon has a separate category from a sixth to a third, then you have to also say that the Chachamim have a separate category from zero to a sixth.
Right. So that was the Gemara's initial assumption. But now the Gemara wants to change it and say that Rabbi Tarfon actually doesn't have the same separate category as the Rabbanan. They're not exactly the same. That's what the Gemara prefaced.
They're not kind
of... It said, Savru, we thought that they were the same, that less than each key ratio is the same for both parties. Mm-hmm. But now the Gemara is saying, no, less than Rabbi Tarfon's key ratio is actually not the same as less than the Chachamim's key ratio.
Yeah, that's what I'm having trouble with.
Right. So the question is, did the Gemara actually believe that this is true? Or is the Gemara just saying this to refute the attempted proof that was brought from the Mishnah, right? Often we find that the Gemara will be medache, it will just push away certain questions, answers, proofs that are given.
It's saying it could
so when
be.
The Gemara
it
tries to change Rabbi Tarfon, it could be. And I think that later in the sugya, some of these assumptions actually change. That's what makes it so difficult, is we assume some things within Rabbi Tarfon, and then maybe we rescind those assumptions and deviate a little bit from what we were assuming. But that's the point the Gemara is trying to make now. Basically, we tried to prove that the Rabbanan must allow some grace period for a person to be mochel, even if it's less than a sixth, because otherwise we can't understand why the Tagare Lod, the merchants in Lod, prefer the Chachamim over Rabbi Tarfon. And now the Gemara is trying to say, no, maybe the Rabbanan don't have a grace period for less than a sixth, and the reason the Chachamim prefer, sorry, the reason the Tagare Lod, the merchants in Lod, prefer the Chachamim over Rabbi Tarfon is because the difference between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim is actually much smaller than you thought. You thought that above a sixth, but less than a third, according to the Chachamim, the whole transaction is batel. And according to Rabbi Tarfon, it's automatically forgiven. And thus, Rabbi Tarfon should be much preferred to the Chachamim. What we're now saying is no, between a sixth and a third, Rabbi Tarfon thinks that the transaction stands, and you just have to be machzir, that which you overcharge the person. What that would mean is that the difference between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim is very small, and thus it makes sense why the merchants in Lod prefer the Chachamim, who give a much shorter time frame to be mochel, to forgive the onah. That would make sense why the merchants prefer that position over Rabbi Tarfon. Let's just see Rashi, according to what we just said, that mi shtus v'ashlish the Rabbi Tarfon kishtus atzma l'rabbanan dami. Mi shtus v'ashlish the Rabbi Tarfon havya onah kishtus atzma l'rabbanan. From a sixth to a third, according to Rabbi Tarfon, actually is onah, just like a sixth, according to the Rabbanan. Not like we thought initially that it wouldn't be onah, according to Rabbi Tarfon. Ve'eino cholik al chachamim ela debito mekach tidhu meshavi lehu onah beyado ahayona. The only dispute between Rabbi Tarfon and the chachamim is that which the chachamim nullify the whole transaction, meaning more than a sixth, Rabbi Tarfon treats as a valid transaction, and you just have the right to decide whether you want to return the money or keep the item. According to the Rabbanan, either party could be chozer. So now the difference between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim is much smaller, and we understand why the Tagare Lod preferred the position of the Chachamim. So then ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if it's true that according to Rabbi Tarfon, more than a sixth, but less than a third, is still onah, then b'mai samchu meikara. Why did the merchants of Lod prefer Rabbi Tarfon in the beginning? Now that we're saying the difference between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim is so small, then there's no reason the merchants of Lod should have preferred Rabbi Tarfon when he initially presented his position by saying that the key ratio was a third, and when he had not yet told them that you have a grace period of the whole day. So Gemara says, since we can't really understand why the merchants of Lod initially preferred Rabbi Tarfon, then we should be able to answer a question that the Gemara is going to ask later on. The Gemara is going to have a question When you overcharge by more than a sixth and the whole transaction is null and void according to the Chachamim, do you still have that same grace period of the amount of time it would take for you to show a relative or a merchant and figure out that you were overcharged? Or could you retract on the transaction forever? Gemara says, if we can't understand why the merchants of Lod preferred Rabbi Tarfon from the beginning, we should be able to conclude that when the transaction is null and void, according to the Chachamim, you can nullify the transaction forever. Because when Rabbi Tarfon told them that it's only Ona at a third, but less than a third would not be Ona, so therefore Samchu, they liked Rabbi Tarfon and they preferred that. And Ki Amar Lehu Kolayom Chazru. But then when Rabbi Tarfon said that you have the whole day to be chozer, they no longer liked Rabbi Tarfon. Because if you think that when you overcharge by more than a sixth and the transaction is batel according to the Rabbanan, you only have that grace period of the amount of time it would take you to show a merchant or a relative, then b'may samchu, there's no reason for them to prefer Rabbi Tarfon initially to the Chachamim. So if we look in Rashi, the Isal Kadaitach Bito Mekach Rabbanan, Keona Bichdei Sheyare, if you think that when you overcharge by more than a sixth according to the Chachamim, that that's the same as when you charge exactly a sixth, and the person has only the amount of time that it would take them to show a relative or a merchant to be chozer, Ve'ein Bein Ona LeBito Mekach, Ela DeBeona Yadu Al HaLiona, UBeBito Mekach Shneem Chozerim, and the only difference between a sixth and more than a sixth is that at a sixth, you have the right to choose whether you want the transaction to be null and void or you just want to be returned what you were overcharged. But if it's more than a sixth, then either party could retract. Ki mishavi Rabbi Tarfon, the bito mekach ona, ein zetova lehem. When Rabbi Tarfon treats the more than a sixth of the Rabbanan, which would automatically be batel, as exactly a sixth where you could be chozer, that's not a tova to the Tagare Lod, that's not preferred by the merchants of Lod because he's giving a much broader time frame than the Rabbanan had given. According to what we're saying, if the Rabbanan only allow you to be chozer when you overcharge by more than a sixth for a short grace period, not forever, mm-hmm. then Rabbi Tarfon expands that grace period and allows you the entire day, that should not be preferred by the Tagare Lod. And therefore, you can't understand why the Tagare Lod were ever happy with Rabbi Tarfon. So Gemara says no. Samchu b'shtus atzma v'Rabbi Tarfon mechila u'l'Rabbanan ona. The merchants in Lod were still happy with that key ratio of a sixth, even though Rabbi Tarfon was giving a much broader time frame than the Chachamim, because Rabbi Tarfon changed the key ratio in a way that would be beneficial for the merchants of Lod. That's why they preferred Rabbi Tarfon initially. So just to sort of explain what just happened a little bit, we had a question. According to the Rabbanan, if you overcharge by less than a sixth, is it automatically forgiven or do you still have a grace period? The Gemara tried to prove that you still have a grace period because if it was automatic, then the merchants in Lod should have always preferred Rabbi Tarfon. The Gemara says, no, maybe it could have been automatic because Rabbi Tarfon actually was more limited than we thought. He was closer to the position of the Chachamim than we thought. The Gemara says then, if that's true, that it's automatically forgiven, we should be able to answer the question that we're about to address right now, which is, if you overcharge by more than a sixth according to the Rabbanan, can you be chozer forever? Seemingly, we can conclude that you can be chozer forever, because otherwise we can't understand why the merchants of Lod preferred Rabbi Tarfon initially. Then the Gemara says, no, maybe you cannot prove that according to the Rabbanan, if you overcharge by more than a sixth, you could be chozer forever. Maybe you can only be chozer for that grace period of the amount of time it would take you to show a relative or a merchant and realize that you were ripped off. Maybe it's only that time frame, and still the merchants of Lod preferred Rabbi Tarfon initially because what the Rabbanan treat as ona at a sixth, Rabbi Tarfon treats as forgiveness.
Could you just explain again why they felt that it would come closer than they had thought? I don't understand how that should be.
How we could change Rabbi Tarfon, you're saying?
Yeah.
Right, so that was what Moshe was asking before. Basically, what the Gemara was assuming in this whole discussion was that when Rabbi Tarfon said that the key ratio is a third, he didn't mean that between a sixth and a third it's automatically forgiven. All he meant was that between a sixth and a third, which for the Rabbanan would automatically cancel the transaction, really the buyer just could demand the overcharging back. But the whole transaction is not bought out. So that's how they came closer together than we initially thought. And the Gemara said explicitly in the beginning, Savrua, Dekut, whatever, we thought that less than the key ratio for Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim was the same. But we end up changing that and saying, no, less than the key ratio of Rabbi Tarfon is not the same as less than the key ratio of the Chachamim. Less than the key ratio of Rabbi Tarfon is actually the same as exactly the key ratio of the Chachamim.
So Rabbi
and that's where everything changed. Now, whether that's going to change in the ensuing discussion of the Gemara.
So Rabbi Tarfon also holds of a threshold of a sixth.
Rabbi Tarfon, to some degree, also holds a threshold of a sixth. He just doesn't hold the same thing about that threshold. Chachamim hold that above a sixth, the whole transaction is batel. Rabbi Tarfon says, no, above a sixth, the transaction still stands, but you have to be machzor the onah. Good. So now the Gemara has the next question. Yibayilu, we have the following question. Bitul mekach l'rabbanan la'olam chozer, odilma b'chtei sheyar l'tagar l'krova. The question we just alluded to before, when the Rabbanan say that above a sixth, the transaction is null and void, can you retract that transaction forever? Or maybe you still only have that grace period, the amount of time it would take you to show a relative or a merchant. Be'im timsilomar b'chtei sheyar l'tagar l'krova, ma'ika ben shtus l'yater ashtus, if you'll tell me that it has to be that you could retract forever. Because if you could only retract within the grace period, then what would be the difference between a sixth, where you have that grace period, and more than a sixth, where you're telling me all of a sudden that you have only that grace period? So Gemara says, no, that's not a good point, because Ika, there still is a difference between more than a sixth and less than a sixth. The difference would be that if you charge exactly a sixth, only he who was overcharged could retract, but the seller cannot retract. And if you overcharge by more than a sixth, both the buyer and the seller could retract.
What kind of a distinction is that? Why would the seller retract if he overcharged him by more than a sixth?
Right, so it's not necessarily
a serious distinction.
Right, it's not a beneficial distinction, but it still is a distinction. I think you're really asking a broader question, which is, why do the rabbis allow the seller to retract if he overcharges by more than the legal amount? I think the answer to
they would allow him to retract because he's giving up rights. He's giving back money.
Yeah.
You can always give money. You can always do whatever you want with your money. It's not even a right. I can do with my money. If I sold someone an item for more than a sixth and I want to give it back to him, it's my money. I can give it back to him. I can undo the whole thing.
But then that's true even at a sixth. Even at exactly a sixth, where generally we're saying only the buyer can retract. You're saying the seller could also
retract. He could also retract.
You just give the money back.
Yeah.
Well, no, he can't retract on the whole transaction.
If the buyer doesn't want to retract the whole transaction, he can't.
Right. But if it's more than a sixth, even if the buyer wants to keep the item, the seller could retract. So why is that? That's the difference. It's not beneficial for this. I'll explain why I think that's the case. It's not beneficial for the seller, but he could still do it. So why is it that if the seller overcharges by more than a sixth, the seller could retract against the will of the buyer? I think the answer is because if you overcharge by that key ratio that the Torah requires, according to the Chachamim, the whole transaction is seen as never having taken place. Because you completely ripped the person off more than you were supposed to. That's what bitul mekach means. And therefore, you could be chozer even against his will. Again, if both of them agree and no one wants to be chozer, so then the transaction could still stand. Maybe you'll say it wasn't really a transaction. It was sort of just like a hefker situation. But if the seller wants to retract, even though it's not necessarily beneficial for him, and the buyer doesn't, I think he's allowed to do it against the buyer's will. Because the whole transaction was never chal, according to the Torah.
I thought two consenting adults can do whatever they want with their property. Maybe not.
Right. So that's all. Well, I think it's no longer two consenting adults, meaning if the seller wants to retract, then we don't have consent to both parties.
Right.
That, I think, is the answer. What's the answer to our question? According to the Rabbanan, more than a sixth, keep it chozer forever, or only within the grace period? Says the Gemara Toshima. We can infer again from
He might also want to keep his reputation as an honorable.
He might want to keep his reputation, right, 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So chozer, and the question is, how much do you keep your reputation if the buyer doesn't want you to maintain that reputation? Maybe if the buyer wants to keep the transaction, then maybe you get a better.
If he wants to keep the transaction, there's an answer for that. You know, undo the transaction, you know, and then to redo the transaction at an appropriate price.
Right, but then the seller might not want to do that either. So then
why?
Maybe the value of the item went up or something like that. I don't know. He wants to keep the item in there. It's a fair question. So it says the Gemara Tashma. Chozer l'divrei Chachamim. Again, we can answer our question from the Mishnah and the merchants of Lod. Subsequently preferring the Chachamim over Rabbi Tarfon. If you think that according to the Rabbanon, when you overcharge by more than a sixth, you only have that grace period, but you do not have forever. Well, the Rabbi Tarfon kol ayom, and according to Rabbi Tarfon, you can retract the whole day. That's why the merchants of Lod preferred the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan gave a shorter grace period, a shorter time frame than Rabbi Tarfon did. But if you think that if you overcharge by more than a sixth, the Rabbanan allow you to be chozer forever, then why would the merchants of Lod prefer the Chachamim over Rabbi Tarfon? But the Rabbi Tarfon Rabbi Tarfon is the preferred position because he treats it as onah only for the whole day and not forever, but according to the Rabbanan, it lasts forever. So why would the merchants of Lod all of a sudden prefer the position of the Chachamim over Rabbi Tarfon if it's correct that when you overcharge by more than a sixth, the Rabbanan allow you to be chozer forever, Rabbi Tarfon should be much preferred, and therefore we should conclude that according to the rabbis, you still only have that grace period, the amount of time it would take you to show relative over merchant. Says Gemara, no, you totally misunderstood, because bito mekach lo shchiach. It's uncommon for a person to overcharge so much that the whole transaction will be null and void. That would be the only case where the Chachamim would be worse than Rabbi Tarfon, and the merchants of Lod should have preferred Rabbi Tarfon. But since that case is so uncommon, the merchants still preferred the Chachamim, who gave a shorter grace period, than Rabbi Tarfon, who gave a longer grace period. Let's just see one Rashi. Bito mekach lo shchiach, ve'ein shevach ze choshev lahem b'midi de lo shchiach. This added value of Rabbi Tarfon, that you can only be chozer for the whole day and not forever if you overcharge by more than a sixth, is not so beneficial for the merchants because it's not so common. And even if it does happen where they overcharge by so much that the whole transaction should be batel, still Rabbi Tarfon is giving a person the entire day to be chozer. Most people who change their mind about a transaction and want to be chozer do so within the same day. And therefore, there isn't really a difference between allowing forever and allowing just one day. Most people are going to change their mind. Are going to change their mind within that first day anyway. And therefore, the Chachamim preferred the position of the Chachamim, who gave a shorter grace period when it came to overcharging by a sixth, than Rabbi Tarfon, who gave a longer grace period. And thus, we don't necessarily have a clear answer to this question. If you overcharge by more than a sixth, according to the Rabbanan, could you be chozer forever or only within the grace period? The Gemara tried to prove that it was only within the grace period, and then the Gemara said, no, maybe it could even be forever. It's so those are the discussions within the Chachamim.
It's interesting, because the halacha is like the Chachamim, Yara, Lekrovo, Letaker. Generally, the Gemara shies away from moving targets when it comes to Shiurim. Shear, they wouldn't have a standard shear applicable to everybody. So you would think that they would have ruled like Reb Tarfon. That's either Meis Lies or Kol Yam Kuloi, however you want to define it, because that's an objective, standardized shear that everybody understands and it's equal to everybody. You know, I may be traveling from my home city and my wife is in my home city, so I have a different time to retract. And another guy might be chopping next door to his house, and he has, you know, you have a multiplicity of time frames,
right?
And the Gemara usually shies away from that kind of solution.
So what Moshe's referencing is often the Gemara says, your position leads to different amounts for different people, and therefore we should shy away from that. I sort of wonder, though, again, this is not the clearest answer, but you have to figure out exactly. The amount of time is going to be different for every person, but the subjective definition, which is that you have until it would take you to show a merchant or a relative, is obviously the same. So you're 100% correct that that's still not hatat rechlesh urine. It could be different amounts of time. You have to figure out exactly when the Gemara shies away from these subjective definitions, shiurim, and says, oh, these subjective definitions are actually okay, and other places where the Gemara doesn't. You have to try to reconcile those. But I think you're absolutely right. It is one standard definition, but it's a definition that leads to different amounts of time for different people, and therefore it should seem to be imkei natatin brechlin shirin, 100%. And now the Gemara wants to paskin what we do in all these cases of the ratios. Amar Rava, hilchasa pachas mishtos nikna mekach. Says Rava, the halacha is that if you overcharge by less than a sixth, the transaction is valid, and it's automatically kona right away.
And it's forgiven.
And it's forgiven, it would seem. Yoter al shtos bito mekach, if you overcharge by more than a sixth, then the transaction is null and void. And shtus kana umach sirona, if you overcharge by exactly a sixth, then the transaction stands, but you have to return the amount that you overcharged. Vizeh vizeh b'speishayara letagar o lekrovo. And the time frame, as Moshe was just referencing, the time frame for when you overcharge by a sixth or more than a sixth for the other party to be either chozer in the whole transaction or just to claim back the overcharging, those grace periods are only the amount of time that you would need to show a merchant a relative, and as Moshe pointed out, that could be very subjective. Tanya Kavasa de Rava, we have a brisa which supports the psak of Rava. Ona pachas mishtos nikna mekach. If you overcharge by less than a sixth, the transaction is chal. Yeter al shtos batel mekach. If you overcharge by more than a sixth, the transaction is batel. And shtos kana umachzir ona. If it's exactly a sixth, the transaction stands, but you have to return the amount that you overcharged. Divrei Rabbi Nassan. According to Rabbi Nassan, Rabbi Huda Anasi Omer Yad Mocher Al Yona. Rabbi Huda Anasi disagrees in the case where it's exactly a sixth. If it's exactly a sixth, says Rabbi Huda Anasi, the din is not that the transaction stands, but you have to return the amount that you overcharged. Really, the seller has the upper hand. Rotze Omer Lo Tainli Mekhi Otainli Mashi Nisani. The seller can either say, give me back my item, or he can say, give me back the amount that I undercharged you. Both of those time frames, the grace periods for either exactly a sixth or more than a sixth, would both be the amount of time that it takes you to show a relative or a merchant. Let's just try to do a couple more lines here. It shouldn't be too bad. How long do you have to be chozer? So that was a discussion in the Mishnah, and we said the amount of time that it would take you to show a merchant or a relative. So says Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Nachman, Lo Shanu Ela Lokeach. Only a buyer who was ripped off has this time frame that it would take you to show a relative or a merchant. Aval Mocher Lo Olam Chozer. But the seller has forever. He could be Chozer as long as he wants. So says Gemara, name a Messiah. Maybe the following statement would support that position of Rav Nachman. Because Chazru LeDivrei Chachamim. We saw that the merchants retracted from liking Rabbi Tarfon and preferred the Chachamim. So Iyamar Bishlama Mocher Lo Olam Chozer Mishum Hachi Chazru. If you think that the seller could always be Chozer, that's why they preferred the Chachamim over Rabbi Tarfon, because the Chachamim gave a shorter grace period for the buyer. But you could forever be chozer for the seller, and they were the seller. So it would always be beneficial for them to go like the Chachamim. Eli Amar Mocher Nami Kelokeach Tami. But if you assume that the seller is exactly like the buyer, then my nafki lumina ki hechi davdi le'rabanan takanta le'lokeach, hachanami avdi le'rabanan takanta le'mocher. Why would they prefer the Chachamim over Rabbi Tarfon, who gave a longer grace period? If the seller has the same grace period as the buyer, and these were merchants who are sellers, they should prefer Rabbi Tarfon because they're going to benefit from that longer grace period that they have to be able to be Choser. So thus, we must conclude that this supports Rav Nachman, that according to the Rabbanon, and probably according to Rabbi Tarfon also, the merchant could be chozer forever. So says Gemara, no, that's not a good support for Rav Nachman, because Tagare Lod lo shchiach detau. It was not common for the merchants of Lod to make a mistake. Therefore, they didn't care about the grace period afforded to the seller. They only cared about the grace period afforded to the buyer, and thus they preferred the Chachamim, who gave a shorter grace period than Rabbi Tarfon. Thus, their transactions would be more likely to stand indefinitely. And thus, you cannot conclude supporting Rav Nachman that the seller could be chosen there forever. Okay?
Thank you very much. Nice.